Here are a few quick tips from CHAD, Children and Adults with ADHD. Parenting children with ADHD can be a challenge. Here are a few tips you can try today. Praise your child more than criticize. Consistency is key and helps with remaining focused. Seek support. Remember, it takes a village, and you don't have to do it alone. Get help from CHAD. Quick tips are brought to you by CHAD, Children and Adults with ADHD. Get more tips on CHAD.org. Visit, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Our title is Brain-Based Solutions for ADHD Kids. And it's right in line with some of our favorite shows because we like to pay attention to attention. And by paying attention to what the brain pays attention to for kids, it's going to point to some really cool solutions that might not be so obvious for you. And with us tonight in our virtual studio is Caroline McGuire. I'm really excited about having her on board. I've known of her for a period of time, met her a couple weeks ago in Arizona at the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference. We had a conversation about this show, and I'm really excited about it. Real quickly, today is Wednesday, May the 13th in the year 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we do have some announcements. First, we have a little bit of a crisis here. Dr. Ari Tuckman, we had on, I think, in March. He was launching a survey that he was doing on trying to really understand what's going on in the bedrooms of those with ADHD. And he's got a survey up at ADHDRelationshipSexSurvey.com. And he's been trying to gather data, and we've had over 3,000 responses to the survey, which is great. But we were a little light on the ADHD, the couples with ADHD where the husband does not have ADHD. We've had like 150 responses, and statistically we like a little bit more. So if you're listening to this podcast and you know somebody who's in an ADHD relationship, who's male, who doesn't have it, please send them to that website and complete the survey. It's about 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and really invaluable. I did get to talk to Ari recently, and there's some really good information that he's going to glean out of this, and I think we're going to have him on, I think, July or August when the results kind of come in. So know that that's happening. Also, the ADD Coach Academy is trying to do some research on the VIA character strengths. We encourage you to go to addca.com/character. Take the free survey on the VIA character strengths. It takes about 15 minutes. I did it, and it revealed some stuff that was really surprising to me. Matter of fact, the number one character strength I had was on self-regulation, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. But anyway, just if you could help us with that, I'd appreciate it. Also, Dr. Barkley has continued to ask me to support the ADHDfund.com website, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale ADHD research worldwide. And then our last announcement is the CHAD conference. This year's in New Orleans from November 12th to the 14th. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there myself at the conference, actually presenting on boredom, which is it's a fun topic. As a matter of fact, I think I can do it without everybody being bored. So it's not too early to start planning for that conference. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. And, okay, so we're through announcements, so let's get into today's topic because I'm pretty excited about it. Again, Carolyn McGuire is a certified personal coach. She got her PCC from the International Coach Federation. She speaks at venues throughout the world on topics related to young people with ADHD, LD, and social skills challenges. She's a CHAD certified parent-to-parent coach and is a teleclass leader for the ADD Coach Academy, who we're very, very thrilled. They've always supported our show, and actually I have to say I'm on faculty where they're there, so a little-known fact, I don't mention that much, and she's very good. She received her undergraduate degree from Trinity College and has a master's in education and early childhood development from Lesley University. Her thesis there was entitled, Why Will No One Play With Me?, which is kind of fascinating. She also was a former coach at the Hollowell Center in Sudbury, which is really pretty impressive, and she lives with her husband and children in Concord, Massachusetts. Her personal website is necoaching.com. And with that, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. We're thrilled to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. It's a great topic.
It's a great topic, and we got some good stuff. You know, you and I were talking before this, and the world so often has a solution and kind of like bullies people into it. I don't like that word, but at the same time, I'm trying to make a point. It's like, you know, you've got to kind of be like this. And you and I have talked about brain-based solutions where rather than telling people what they should try, you kind of watch their brain and let it dictate what works to you. And you and I were having a conversation about this, and you told a story about a particular student that you worked with who was apparently relatively messy, and the room was all over the place. Yet when they studied, they had to be in a completely different environment. Can you share this story with us?
Yeah, it really just speaks to the topic where, you know, sometimes people are disorganized and don't actually, you know, really want to have their home space completely organized. But when they work or when they do homework, in this case, they need something else. And a lot of times, you know, parents or partners try to sort of tell you what you should do. And in this case, the parents were really great and were very open, and this is what I totally encourage people to do, to the thought that for this young woman, she needed something a little different, and so she created a messy space, which was her room, and it was indeed horrific. And then she had a space that was completely empty except a desk and a chair, and that's where she did her homework, and she was increasingly successful academically just from having a space that fit her needs. When everybody stopped telling her what she should need and really gave her what she really needed to fire up her ADD brain and to make it a good space for her.
So I'm envisioning there's like two rooms. There's like a bedroom that is borderline hoarder. I'm going to an extreme here to accentuate it, you know. But then you got another room right next to it that's got nothing but four walls and a desk and maybe a floor and a carpet, and she would live her life in the bedroom, but when it was time to study, she would have to be in this sterile-free environment. In that case, she could actually focus on what's going on. Is that
absolutely
an accurate representation?
Absolutely. I mean, she actually did a lot of her work without even a computer in this sterile environment, and she would bring the computer in when it was time to do computer work. And, you know, a lot of times if you talk to clients or, you know, your child, they can tell you what they think might work. And this idea came from her. She said, I have something I want to try. And she and her mom emptied the one room so that it was completely sterile, and her mom kind of let go of the hoarder's room, as you described it, that was piled high with stuff and really not an inch was not covered with clothes. But, you know, really what we cared about was that she live up to her potential and was able to harness her own power.
Yeah, and everybody, I can't help but digress here because the way you describe it, Caroline, is it was her idea, and the coaching paradigm is so much about the clients created naturally resourceful and whole, and the show is about paying attention to the attention, and if we just relax and let people just listen to what comes instinctive to them, it many times reveals what will work. And I don't want to put words in your mouth or her mouth, but when we back off and – I mean, it was her idea to do this. It was instinctive, and it works. And I'm really going to highlight, sometimes we try too hard to say this is what you need to do, but so often if we just listen to the person and they listen to themselves, it will point to what works. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I've always done for the past 10 years. As an ADDer myself, I know I used to do things that were a little wacky, but it worked for me. And I learned, you know, about the chemistry of the brain as I became more educated about ADD and got into coaching. And it just spoke to me that a lot of times people need what they need. And to arouse the brain or give the brain a space where it can really make the best, it doesn't always mean you fit into the little box that everyone
yep.
wants you to.
Yep.
And parents, you know, I get it. I'm a mom. Believe me, I understand about the mess and the hoarder's room and other things. But I think if our end goal is that this person lives up to their potential and does what they're meant to do, then sometimes it's, you know, partnering with the kid means letting some things
yep.
go
yep.
and moving forward.
Yep. So let's flip this thing upside down. There's another story that you told me that's kind of the opposite of this that I think is kind of fascinating. There was a college student that, I can't remember exactly the story, but by accident or whatever, they would actually go to other classes, labs or something, and sit in the back. I mean, they weren't even in the class, but they would go there to do their homework, which is like the opposite of what we described. Can you talk about that for a second?
Sure. I had a college student who was, you know, really brilliant, and you just knew that he was, but he was doing very, very poorly. And he was, you know, in the humanities, and he had a buddy who was an engineering major. Well, if you know anything about engineering or the sciences in college, they have labs where they do these problem sets, and they all kind of get together, and sometimes there's a TA who leads. And one night by happenstance, and he had a backlog of work. I mean, he was, you know, very close to academic probation. He went to this lab where his buddy was doing problem sets. And he sat in the back, and he found that he could do work. And he was productive he had ever been. And so he told me about it, and I said, this is wonderful. You know, I wish you could have that experience again. And he, of his own, you know, volition, went out and got the engineering and the science schedules, which are, you know, on the websites now for college,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
he started going to these labs and sitting in the back, and he had them all scheduled out. He figured out when they were. And his work log, I mean, it went away, and he started doing really well. And he really had figured out that he needed noise and people and that sort of body double, but he couldn't necessarily work in certain environments. And, you know, it was a unique solution that, again, came from him. And I've had similar things with many, many students I've worked with. Because this worked so well, I'll sometimes say, I have a crazy idea, but let's try to find a place where you can do work. You know, if the person says, you know, I once could do work in Starbucks, then we
yep.
try to find a place they can do work.
Yep. It, you know, Caroline, over the years, we all hear about white noise where you have, like, kind of something going in the background, like TV or radio that you're not really listening to it. And over the years, I've coached so many people that I call this a white experience, where they're in an area and there's a bunch of people moving around. They're all paying attention to something different, but for whatever reason, that enables them to focus, which is the complete opposite of what we just described, where the girl was in the room with four walls and just a desk. It doesn't really matter to me the details of it other than what works, and you figure these things out by trying to understand what works for that person's brain, not by trying to say this is what the way everybody else does it.
Absolutely, Jeff. And here's the thing I've found over the years. I do trials with clients where we come up with some ideas and we do it for a week. We do it for 2 weeks and
yep.
see what can work. And the white noise experience, as you call it, is very powerful. And part of it comes from the individual being willing to look at where can I focus. And
yep.
and sometimes it's on a park bench. It's
yep.
not always in a library. As a matter of fact, most of my students cannot focus in the library.
Absolutely. You actually said park bench. And I want to.
Yes.
This is a pause right now because I want to come back to the park bench, everybody. So we talked about a room with four walls and a desk. Then we've talked about, like, sitting in the back room of a lab. We've got another environment we're going to talk about when we come back to break. But before we go, can you tell us what's going on at the ADD Coach Academy and what you guys are doing to try to help people and families in this particular area?
Yes, absolutely. So we are starting, and I am the leader of a new Fundamentals of Family Coaching, which is going to be launching in the next few months. If you go to addca.com, ADD Coach Academy, and it's really to train people to work with children and families, because there aren't many family and children coaches out there. There's actually a real need. So if people are interested, we're going to be taking names and we're going to be enrolling folks to have this kind of a career. And I can't even tell you, it's wonderful. I love working with families.
And it's really exciting. And as the show is airing, this is valuable information, which is why we're having the show. But if you're a coach or you're thinking about coaching and want to go to this area, more information is going to show up at the ADCA website at addca.com. I'm presuming maybe June or July of 2015.
Yes.
Would that be accurate?
That would be accurate.
So if you're listening to this right now, make a little note and come back to it. And if you're listening to this in our archives, go check it out because it might already be up. So everybody, with that, we're going to be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
As the mom of a kid with ADHD, I wanted him to have a summer camp experience like all the other kids, but I also wanted him to work on his social skills and become more confident, so I decided to send him to SOAR.
At SOAR, I got to have fun and be myself with other kids who are just like me. I felt comfortable and like I was part of a group. I can't wait to go back next summer.
Give your child a summer of success at SOAR. Learn more and apply today at ADHDSummerCamps.com or SOARNC.org. Your journey to success begins at SOAR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and we're having one of my... I love these shows because I'm trying to illustrate obvious solutions that are not so obvious by paying attention to attention. And so, Caroline, this is just fun stuff because I just so often people talk about the theory, and now we're showing real life examples of what's going on. And before the break, we talked about one person who lived in a messy environment, had to study in a sterile environment. Then we went to the extreme where they're sitting in the back of a lab class that's not even theirs, and they're able to kind of focus. You've got another story about a student who actually needed to go into nature and work in a park. Can you tell us about that one?
Sure. Some people really get a lot of stimulation and peacefulness also from nature. And, I had a young person that I worked with, and she needed to be in nature, and she figured out that when she went to a park, she did better in terms of focus. And, the problem is some of us are here in the snow belt, and so when it is winter, you can't sit in a park. But, we figured out that she sat on an enclosed porch. But it really calmed her and stimulated her brain. And, I guess some people would, say you shouldn't study in the middle of a park, but that's the whole point. You know, you really have to look at what works for you. And this worked.
Yeah, and as you told this story, I had a flashback. God, we've been doing this thing so long, Caroline. I think it was 2010 in the summer, so it was like 5 years ago. We were interviewing Nancy Rady, and she wrote the book, The Disorganized Mind. And in that interview, it was kind of fascinating because she talked about how she wrote that book, and there was a few things that were kind of fun about what she did. But one thing that stands out is how she used to grab her laptop and two batteries, and she would go to the park, and she'd set a timer. And she would actually do the writing of the chapters in that book because the park and the deadline, for whatever reason, that really kind of worked for her. So there was a little bit of the nature of the park and also a little bit of an adrenaline rush of an impending deadline that enabled her to write what was a spectacular book. And we've had three situations right now that are very, very different, which I really want to kind of highlight what I've learned from interviewing the experts over the years. When it comes to ADHD, so much of success is about environment, environment, environment. Did I say environment?
You did.
Because these are three situations that are very different. By the way, ADHD is different for everybody, that illustrate what works for one doesn't work for another. And I don't think most people have thought about these, but these are real-life examples of things that really help. So comment away.
So this is all really important, too, for folks to know, especially as they're trying to figure out their ADD or their child's ADD. ADD is very much subject to situational variability, and there's longitudinal research studies that show this. So part of what you want to figure out as an ADDer is what location works for me and what location doesn't, because they've done studies that show that in one location a person might have almost no symptomology, and then in another location they have a really hard time. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Sometimes you know as an ADD you feel really on, and
yep.
Other times you just don't. And that's really what I try to do with clients, is give them that information and then ask them, what has worked for you? What do you think about that's a little out of the box?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't talk about it because you think no one will allow you to do it. And then I go back and I convince parents to let us try something a little out of the box.
It's funny. You say let's try. I always call it experiment. We're going to run an experiment. We're going to try this with and compare what we get out of it from the other one, to make it a little bit sterile. But at the end of the day is, let's give this thing a shot, take the pressure off. It may or may not work, but we'll give it a whirl. And these are great examples that you've given us of times that you've done this that have led to some amazing solutions that really you wouldn't have gotten there had you not listened to the person. So,
absolutely.
I want to go to a break here in a little bit, but there's one other story that I want to kind of jump in here that I think is kind of it's really very different. There was a person that you were working with that was really into gaming and wanted to build their own YouTube channel. And if I remember correctly, we're using that passion and getting them there in a way to kind of help them study. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. I think that nowadays people want to do careers that are a little different than when you and I went to school, Jeff. And
yep.
This young man was really into gaming, but he was really into it in a way, not just sitting in the dark playing Halo. He really wanted to do the graphics of it. He wanted to be a game designer, and he wanted to have a YouTube channel where you give advice on how to beat these games. And he had researched it. He had emailed very famous game designers and colleges and had gathered information. I mean, he was into this, and he really had done the due diligence to find out, you know, I need to take these graphic courses, I need to go to this college. And one of the things that would help him stand out in these colleges was a YouTube channel. And his parents just really thought that this was insane. They wanted him to something else, something more traditional, and they really saw the gaming as, you know, the reason why he didn't get his work done. And I think
uh-huh.
It was a little bit, but he also just wasn't fired up about the American high school experience. So we sat down and we talked a lot, and I just saw him come alive about the YouTube, right? he had thought this through. And so he wanted to build his own computer. And, you know, this is not something that I know a lot about, but he really did. And his parents really wanted him to get his work done and be a diligent student. And so we came up with a compromise where they bought all the parts to this computer. And every time he completed all his work for the night and really we could show that, you know, this is all done, this is done well, he got another part. Well, there's a ton of parts to a computer, especially one of these fancy ones that can do all this stuff. But this was all connected to his YouTube dream, right?
Yep.
And I'm proud to say that he not only turned his academics around, I mean, really was getting his work in. We had checks and balances with the school. But he not only launched a YouTube channel, he was wildly successful and got into a top college to do all of this graphics and everything. And honestly, he deserved it. He was passionate and he fought through. And it was just, it was motivational for him.
So everybody, this is the ugly duckling example of today, because so much of everything we talked about before was a little bit more natural, and this is a little bit more of an incentive-based type thing. But I wanted to bring it up because because this is brain-based stuff and trying to help people move forward, and it's an out-of-the-box solution that really worked for this particular person when you really kind of find of interest. And we've interviewed Dr. Barkley multiple times about porn and performance rewards and that notion of, hey, if you kind of get through this, you're going to move the next step into building this computer and moving your dream is still not something I think a lot of parents really kind of key in and think about. So I wanted to kind of highlight that because this is something that it's a tool to look at things different and be able to use what that person pays attention to kind of move them forward in a way that's going to move them forward in a way that's going to be productive. And I love the story, particularly you describe it as he was successful when he went to college. So tell you what, Caroline, we need to kind of run to a break real quick. Again, everybody, she's working on building this coaching program for people with families, and hopefully we're going to have some information up there in June and July at addca.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Carolyn McGuire. We're talking about brain-based solutions for ADHD kids. And I hope we're getting you to think out there a little bit out of the box and to realize that everybody with ADHD is completely different. What works for one doesn't necessarily work for the other. But if each individual pays attention to their own brain and their own instincts, it's like a compass. It'll actually point to what you should pay attention to. Caroline, I want to kind of shift gears here a little bit, and there's one thing that has always fascinated to me in coaching those with ADHD. There's a faction of that crowd that movement is a big part of what they do, I'll clarify that in a little more detail in a second, but about a month or two ago, we did an interview with Dr. John Rady about exercise, and that the human being is all about learning, and learning how to find food, and learning how to do some stuff, and there's this there's this relationship between learning and movement that I took away from that interview that was a big insight for me. And so I want to touch base now on some things that I find fascinating. You told a story of a person who, or a kid who would have to jump rope to learn their math facts. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, you know, I'll do pretty much anything to help a kid learn. And what I found was that there are people who really are kinesthetic and they need to move. And I've had, you know, success over the years with this type of learner in basically having the person jump rope and or do hopscotch. They can dribble a ball and shoot baskets. They can be on a trampoline to learn things that they consider boring. So part of this is that, you know, the mom or a partner has to, you know, help them. Or, you know, when they get older, some of the students I work with literally just, you know, have the chemistry table with all of the elements. You know, they look at one, and then they go bounce on the trampoline, and then they come back and look at another one and try to say them. And what the amazing thing is if you do a little sort of informal test, if someone is truly kinesthetic, they are able to retain that information day to day by doing the jumping rope as they learn the facts. So it's a way to make it not so boring. And I honestly believe this is how they have to learn, as John Rady, I think, would support.
You know, it's funny because I had a flashback of a show that we did a couple years ago with Carol Barnier when we were talking about homeschooling kids with ADHD. When the parent had it, and she talked about how she was teaching, like, the times tables, and she would throw something in the pool, and the kid would dive. She'd say, okay, what's 8 times 8? And the kid would dive in and get it, and when he came back up, he had to say 64. And she would do that over a period of time where she used to throw cards on the floor to have them kind of shuffle through it, which really kind of mirrors what you're describing right here. And I can't help but plug this. We did an interview on Attention Talk Video with David Gwerk, who is the head of the AD Coach Academy. And in that interview, we talked about how he struggled in high school until his, I think his grandmother bought him a rocking chair, and he used to rock back and forth, and he would sing his notes to like the tune of "She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes," and that movement and the auditory side of that, or the talking out loud, really kind of helped him focus. And he said he graduated cum laude from Syracuse because of the result of that, and it really changed him or his academic performance. And even in that interview, it was kind of funny because he had a funny roommate at the point in time, and he'd be rocking his rocking chair and telling us how the guy was kind of like, "Oh man, I guess it works for you," type of thing. But the point really here is there's a crowd, there's a part of this crowd that needs to be moving in order to focus, whether they're jumping rope, doing hopscotch, rocking in a chair, or another story that you have is years ago you said you were having people do homework on treadmills long before those standing desk treadmills were available. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, kids especially will tell you things that they have as ideas. And when I had a young girl, and she told me she wanted to do her homework, especially this sort of boring, quote-unquote, stuff, on a treadmill. And so long before there were treadmill desks, I had kids where they would rig something up. This young woman rigged up a sort of platform. She would put, you know, Jane Eyre or whatever on the platform, and she would read as she walked. Also using an exercise bike was another thing we did with her. And, you know, she is a successful young woman. She is a productive citizen. She went through college. She did really well. And she used these kind of techniques. She reads on the elliptical. She reads on the treadmill. She reads on the exercise bike. And I don't mean just sort of vaguely reads. She absorbs the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can question her. And so that's what I'd also say to parents and educators and folks. You know, do a little test. Do a little I call a trial. You know, have the kid walk on the treadmill and see if they can retain it. And I'm telling you, if they are truly kinesthetic, they will retain the information. So, yeah, long before there were treadmill desks, I was doing this with students because, you know, we were just trying to honor their imagination, you know, and they thought of this.
Absolutely. Great stuff. I got one more story I would like you to tell. that I think is kind of fascinating about the individual who they were. You'll fill in the details, but they would actually whittle, like knife,
yeah,
and whittle something while they would dictate into Dragon, naturally speaking. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. You know, I had a student who was very visual. He was an artist. He used to tag buildings, which we kind of got him out of and into art. He would make sneakers that he did all of this creative stuff to, and then he would sell them for like $150. I mean, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He was really creative, but he was really not interested in school. He really wanted to go to art school. He really wanted to pursue other things. And, you know, his parents really wanted to make sure that he went through high school. And so, you know, I looked at him when we would meet. He would take the slips from the post office that say to and from, and he would be making art out of them as we talked. And I thought, this is a person who's very tactile, meaning he likes mm-hmm. to use his hands. And, you know, there's got to be a way to harness this. And what he wanted to do was that he liked to whittle, which is something you use a knife, and
yep.
you make, like, little birds or little shapes out of it. And, you know, it's scary to a parent that you want to do this, but he really was good at it. And, you know, but he needed to do his paper. So what we found was we got him Dragon, naturally speaking, and he literally could dictate the paper, and it would be an A paper while
wow.
he whittled.
Wow.
But if he didn't whittle, if he was not allowed to do those kind of things, he would not be able to produce the sentences and the paragraph. He wrote, I remember one was great, he wrote about the Magna Carta, which is a great groundbreaking,
yep.
you know, way that the English govern. And he literally wrote this paper, and it was better than anything he'd written because he was sort of a minimalist. Everything was not,
yep.
you know, up to code. And he started using that. He used Dragon, naturally speaking, and tactile things and whittling. And, again, went to college and is pursuing a Ph.D.
Wow.
So
it, wow.
You know, you can do higher education. You just have to figure out how to ignite your brain.
So this, I want to kind of bring this around because today's show is so much about paying attention to what people pay attention to, which each of these situations, you could not have gotten to these solutions unless you looked at their natural pattern of attention in terms of what allowed them to focus or not. And Caroline, I know what you're trying to do at the ADD Coach Academy is actually train people to learn how to observe other people and actually teach them how to pause and notice what they're drawn to. And I think that the work that you're doing is magnificent, and everybody who listens to the show knows I'm a fan of coaching, just because I think it's an interesting paradigm, because so often all these solutions that we've kind of covered tonight were actually born from the individual, not from what we thought that they should do. And I think a lot of what you're trying to pull together in the curriculum is to teach people how to observe this. You want to speak to that for a second?
Yeah, I mean, there's a phrase where, you know, whatever you pay attention to grows. And, you know, I think that as coaches, as people working with ADDers, you really need to look at when that person is aroused, stimulated, motivated, and when they can focus. And if you really honor that sort of learning style, right, and you're not going to find this in your traditional books, then by doing some of these trials, you can see how that person can pay attention. And part of coaching and the beauty of it and why it's so powerful and scientifically proven to be a great way to help ADD is that if you get the client to pause, if you get the client to stop and think, which happens in these one-on-one interactions, often they've thought of the solution. They just haven't taken the time or had the bravery to implement it.
Or, again, I'm using very strong language, they've been bullied into mainstream way of this is the way you've got to do it, and they haven't, like, really listened to their inner voice to say this really works for me.
Absolutely, because there's a lot of shoulds in education, and, you know, a lot of times you know, parents, society, everyone wants you to fit into this box. But, you know, if we can think a little bit about what makes this person tick, then you really get to understand what are the alternatives, what could work. And, you know, David Gwork is a perfect example. If you talk to any successful ADDer who's academically done those things, I myself used to read everything into a tape and listen to it. You know, everybody has something that they did that is not, you know, traditional.
That goes into Attention Talk Radio was born because when I went to college, reading was difficult to me because of my dyslexia and learning disability, so I would go interview subject matter experts to shortcut. I still had to write the paper, which I didn't like either, but I shortcut the stuff. And when I got into this business, everybody said, oh, you got to write a book or a blog. I'm like, are you kidding me? And so I interview experts like yourself and share that stuff, and it's really been an amazing type thing because it's giving me something to talk about in the world, but I got an amazing education for the likes of you. So all really, really good stuff. Caroline, is there anything else we haven't said that we need to before we close this out?
I would just say thanks so much for having me, and really as people are trying to find these kind of strategies, do a trial. Figure something out. Brainstorm. Look at the learning style and the way that person processes information, and you really can come up with something that will change their lives.
Change their lives in some amazing ways. So everybody, Caroline's own personal website is necoaching.com, and we encourage you to go to addca.com and watch for the coaching class. But realize, I mean, I think the value of what you talked about tonight is you don't have to be a coach to take that class. Even a parent could do that and probably have some value, particularly if you're a family full of them. So it's a good reason to go check it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with that, Caroline, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been great, some great content. And everybody, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.